You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. So many of you already hanging on. We'll go to your calls in just a moment. Want to mention, as we open the broadcast, the book Ostinification of American Christianity. It is our gift for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We have been literally printing these nonstop. We've continued to put in order after order because so many of you are getting the Ostinification of American Christianity. And of course, in the book, I point out that Ostinification is an umbrella term to describe that which is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American Christianity. And one of the noteworthy items in the book is the illustrations of how those like Osteen take the text of Scripture and twist it to communicate whatever they want to say. And that may sound harsh, but let me say it is reality. It is a graphic portrayal of how Scripture is being abused from the very first pages of the Holy Bible. And sometimes Osteen's prostitution of Scripture is so excessive, it quite literally leaves you breathless. Consider, for example, his rendering of Adam's fall in the Garden of Eden. Adam's offense, according to Osteen, was not rebellion against God, but rather believing Satan's suggestion that there might be something wrong with him. You can't make this stuff up. Listen to this.
Back in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, they hid. In the cool of the day, God came to them and said, "Adam, Eve, where are you?" They said, "God, we were hiding because we were naked." I love the way God answered them. He said, "Adam, who told you that you were naked?" In other words, who told you that something was wrong with you? God immediately knew the enemy had been talking to them. God is saying to you today, who told you that you don't have what it takes to succeed? Who told you the best grades you could make in school were C's rather than A's? Who told you that you're not attractive enough? Who told you that your marriage is not going to last? Who told you something was wrong with you?
It's hard for me to believe, quite frankly, as I listen to this, that anyone who takes the sacred name of Christ upon their lips would say something so seductively wrong, such a twisting of the Word of God. In fact, I dare say Osteen here is as subtle as Satan. As Satan has twisted the words of God, so Osteen is twisting the text. He's turning the quintessential voice of judgment into a primer on self-esteem. He's taking the sin that results in all of the evils of the world, and he's twisting it into a teaching on success through positive self-affirmations. I mean, think about this. This is the sin that casts the world into destruction. It is the sin that leads to every horror that has taken place in the history of humanity. And that turned into a trendy teaching on self-affirmation He's taking the sin that would ultimately lead to the death of Christ, and he's turning it into encouraging words from God, a self-affirmation from God, instead of a recognition of the horror of the sin that Adam and Eve have committed. You know, when you listen to Osteen, I suspect you intuitively know that something is wrong. But you can't believe that someone that holds up a Bible and says he believes what the Bible says would twist the text in such a seductive way. But I'm sure the more you think about what he has just said here, in the very beginning of Scripture that sets the platform or the foundation for the rest of Scripture, for ultimately, what is Scripture? If you look at the box top, Adam and Eve fall into lives of perpetual sin, terminated by death, and the rest of the Bible becomes God's unfolding plan for redemption. So you start with the woman who was deceived to the woman who conceived and bore Messiah to take away the horror of Adam's sin. Again, the more you think about it, the worse it gets. Again, all of this and more in the Osteenification of American Christianity. And I want to remind you once more that this is but emblematic of a host of other pretenders who do precisely what Osteen is modeling. This is a message that resonates well. You have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who are tuning in. If his own statistics are to be believed, he gets 1 billion impressions combined on Twitter and Facebook per month. So he's impacting lay people and pastors alike with a seductive message that has nothing whatsoever to do with the message of Scripture. A lot of you hanging on, as I mentioned, we'll go right to our phone callers. First up is Chris in Washington, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Hank, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks for asking. I appreciate that. Big big fan of the show, longtime listener. Question I have for you, in regards to your new book, The Osteenification of American Christianity, has Joel Osteen or anyone from his ministry rebutted or commented to you guys in any way at CRI in regards to the book?
Well, he's not rebutted what we have said. There is no rebuttal to it. But he does say things like one guy is on the radio and he's talking about everyone. He talks about us sometimes. And then he goes on and talks about how we're being judgmental. But what he fails to point out is that we are not judging anybody's motives. He's judging my motives, but we're not judging anybody's motives. What we're doing is testing what he is saying in light of Scripture and then holding fast to the good. And this is something that he should love, something that he should applaud. The great apostle Paul didn't take a 2x4 and hit his hearers over the knuckles because they tested him. No, he counted them as being more noble. He didn't say, look, I wrote 2/3 of the New Testament epistles, you're going to test me? No, he said, you are more noble because you're doing precisely what you have been called to do. Test all things in light of what God has said and then hold fast to the good. And this is precisely what we're doing with Osteen's teaching. When he says what he says with respect to Adam's sin, we are testing what he says in light of Scripture and holding fast to the good. And this is not a subtle or a small twist. This is a paradigm shift in the teaching of the whole of Scripture from its very foundation on. Again, that's why I wrote The Osteenification of American Christianity. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk next to Michael. He's listening in College Station, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Hank. Thanks so much for your ministry. I've been really filled up by it, and thanks for everything you're saying about Osteen. As someone who lives in South Texas, we see a lot of his teaching around, and it's just really refreshing to see some people standing up for truth and doing that right. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
My question is regarding the book of Jonah. And it's, you know, some people I've seen have called it more of a myth than a realistic story. But, you know, for me, it's not so much about the fish, and because I believe in them. I believe in miracles. I really do. I mean, I've seen people healed. I've seen blind people see. You know, so it's not about the fish for me. It's more just about the way it's written. And so, you know, I just wanted to know your views on, you know, do you view the Book of Jonah as myth, or do you view it as an accurate historical event?
Yeah. Well, first of all, before I answer the question, let me say that you're very wise in the comments you made in the prologue to the question, in that the Christian worldview presupposes the miraculous. In fact, the universe itself is an effect that presupposes a cause equal to or greater than itself. So just as the uncaused first cause created the universe, so the uncaused first cause is capable of supernaturally intervening in the universe that he created. So again, a good observation on your part. But the first thing I would say in answering the question, is this book a myth, is you have to look at the genre. And what you have in terms of genre is a historical narrative. It's a narrative that defies the notion of allegorization. The brief mention of the fish does not deter literarily from the descriptions of Jonah's journey to Joppa, of his payment for the fare to go on board, of his conversations with the sailors during the storm, of his eventual trip to Nineveh. All of that is historical narrative. And again, the story of the fish does not take away from that historical narrative. It's part and parcel of the historical narrative. But at the end of the day, when you have a story like this, you probably want a second opinion. And in this case, you can get the second opinion from Jesus Christ himself, because Jesus Christ specifically references Jonah. And he not only referred to Jonah's preservation for 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish as miracle, but he used it as the basis for prophesying that he too would be preserved for 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So Jonah's rescue is a type of Jesus's miraculous resurrection.
I see. So you don't believe that Jesus was using Jonah as a parable as much as he used other parables?
No. In fact, we know that Jesus Christ is saying, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days in the heart of the earth. So he's using it as a direct parallel, one miracle for another. One, of course, is a type. The other is heightened or escalated in the antitype, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you have the prevalent theme of type antitype, which is carried on throughout the entirety of Scripture, and certainly with respect to Messiah.
Well, thanks so much, Hank. I really appreciate it.
You got it. And good observation at the very beginning of your question. Let's go back to our phone callers, and we'll talk next to Ryan. He's listening in Nashville, Tennessee, Bot Radio. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I've got a question about, it was brought to me, and I didn't really know how to answer it fully. How, with the concept of how can, you know, Satan, who was an angel of God, and who was at one time, I guess you would say, good. How can he, in a place like heaven, fall? And then what kind of, you know, that seems to, like, it can shake the confidence of somebody and saying, well, you know, why? How can I go to a place where there was one, where Satan came from, so to speak? Do you see where I'm going with the question? How do you answer a question like that?
Sure. Well, I mean, at the very beginning, you think about Adam and Eve. They're placed in perfect circumstances as well. They're placed in a garden. They walk with God, as it were, in the cool of the day, and yet they chose to disobey. So ultimately, we can look at the exemplar in Satan, we can look at the exemplars in humanity, but we can also look in the mirror. How is it that we continue to sin when we know through creation and we have a knowledge of the Creator? How can we continue to defy Him, and yet we do? So out of the first sin, which comes as a result of God creating people with volition, and of course without volition love is meaningless, comes the best of all possible worlds, a world in which we will forever be able not to sin. So yes, Satan had the effulgence of God's glory, yet he wanted the glory for himself. Again, he was created with volition, and he chose to disobey. We have that very same choice day by day. We'll be right back.
I am blessed. I am prosperous. My God is a supersizing God. These self-affirmations from Houston preacher Joel Osteen are leading millions of people across America and around the world astray. And Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book to combat this new brand of Christianity that you need to get today. It's called The Osteenification of American Christianity, and it's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please go online to request your copy today, equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be right back with Hank Hanegraaff after this. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-Minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book you need to get your hands on. Called The Osteenification of American Christianity, this important resource shines the light on one of the biggest threats to the church in America and around the world. And it shows how you can defend yourself against its lies that can leave you spiritually naked and vulnerable. The Osteenification of American Christianity is our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call 888-7000-CRI with your gift and request it. 888-7000-CRI. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Sean. He's listening in Charlotte, North Carolina, WHVN. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Hank. How are you today, sir?
Good, thank you.
I want to say, first off, thank you for your program, and I really hope that everyone who listens to your program continues to pray for you, but also support you financially monthly. Thank I know you. That's certainly needed to keep you on the air.
Thank you.
My question is, as I've grown up, I've always believed that if you're a believer, when you die, you go to heaven. But as I read Revelations as I got older, it appears to me that the kingdom of God will be coming down and there'll be a new earth and a new heaven created. And then I heard something called soul sleep, and I don't quite understand that. Can you explain that or kind of break that down, sir?
Well, first of all, what you said is absolutely true. And I think what you have grasped is what a lot of people miss. And that is, you have the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. And then you hear the voice that says, now the dwelling of God will be with men. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things now become new. So the overarching theme of Scripture is just as you say. It is paradise lost becoming paradise restored or regained. So it's not as though, you know, we're going to float up into the sky somewhere and after we've traveled at the speed of light for billions or trillions of years, we finally get to a new place called heaven. No, it's this universe transformed. And the way I've explained it in my book, Afterlife, is that it is now, as it were, a veil separating the habitation of God from the habitation of humanity. But when Jesus appears a second time, that veil is removed, and then the kingdom of God, or the habitation of the divine and the habitation of humanity, are conjoined. They become one and the same. So first, good observation on your part. As far as soul sleep is concerned, the Bible speaks about the body being asleep in death, but it never talks about the soul being asleep in death. Rather, when you read the Scriptures, you see quite the inverse. You see that the soul has conscious awareness after the death of the body. This is both for those who are redeemed and those who are not. So in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, you have Lazarus being comforted in Abraham's bosom, and you have the rich man in torment, but both have conscious awareness. And so it is when we die, we continue to have conscious awareness. The soul is not extinguished.
Thank you so much, sir. I really appreciate your insight. It's something I've been concerned about, and I really hope that people continue to support you in prayer and financially.
Well, thank you. And let me just piggyback, as it were, off of what you just said. It is so important for people not only to support this ministry, because without your support, we simply have to go off radio stations. In fact, today we made a decision to cancel one particular radio station. We simply don't have the funds for it. And we're spending those funds every month, but donations aren't coming in from that area, and therefore we can't support it. And these kinds of things put us in a critical financial situation. And so really, you can be a missionary, as it were, to areas of the country or the world through your gift. Maybe the particular station that you're listening on is supported, but there are a lot of stations that are not yet self-supporting. And as a result, sometimes we have deficits. Of course, it's not only because of that. It's sometimes because of the stands I take. But I've chosen not to be politically correct and just trust the Lord that He would provide through His people. But truthfully, sometimes it is difficult. And I have to say that I am deeply grateful for two men in particular who have made a substantial contribution over the last week to the ministry so we could remain on stations. So I am deeply grateful for their stewardship. But we need many more like that who say, I want to not only be a donor, but I want to be a monthly contributor, a partner in ministry with the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And when you join as a partner, pledge to give on a monthly basis, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of the Ostenification of American Christianity to you, a family member, or a friend. Also know that you can get quantities of these books and give them away so that people are warned against this whole ostenification in which the Scripture is being abused simply to communicate a form of New Thought metaphysics carefully packaged in Christian language, but hardly Christian at all. Again, a personalized copy to you, a family member, or a friend for those that join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. And you can do that online at equip.org. Back to the phone lines, and we will talk next to Noah listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Noah.
How you doing, Hank?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. Just like to thank you for talking about the whole Joel Osteen and others like him that are, you know, preaching all these dangerous things that are a lot of believers. But that's not the reason I called today. The reason I called today is on another issue. I was wondering, how is it consistent to talk about the perseverance of the saints, or, you know, that we're eternally secure, and to say that our salvation is partly dependent on us when we ourselves are unstable? Because I know personally, some days I feel like I'm with Christ, some days I don't. You know, how do you bring those two things together? Because I know we've talked in the past, and I know kind of your stance on free will. But I'm kind of seeing for me, it's kind of inconsistent.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Sure. Yeah. And a lot of people struggle with this, Noah. And I would simply say this, that our prerogative is to say we want to follow the kingdom of darkness, or we want to follow the king of light. If you say, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you, I don't understand all the details, but I want to follow you, and I know in the process of following you, I'm going to fall from time to time, I'm going to stumble, but my desire is to be a person who is part of the kingdom of God, a participant in the kingdom, a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not the Malibu surfing Jesus that you see on television shows or you see in some of the movies. He is the wisest man who ever lived. He's also fearsome in many ways. He can calm the storm. He can cleanse a temple from all of the prostitution that's going on there, in terms of financial prostitution and otherwise. He is a paragon of virtue. So it's not the kind of Christ who walks into the tomb of Lazarus and is kind of surprised when the miracle takes place. No, He is the King of creation. He's the one who knit us together in our mother's womb. And if we want to follow that Christ, if we recognize He's wiser than any man that ever lived, He's wiser than the cumulative wisdom of all of humankind because He's God in human flesh. If we want to follow Him, He's not only going to welcome us into the kingdom, but He's going to keep us from falling. And when we do fall, He's going to pick us up. Because the King of Glory is not just one who justifies us. He's also one who sanctifies us. He transforms us from the inside out. So our operative word, the word that we need to focus on and fixate on is willing. Are we willing to be a participant of the kingdom? If we are, though we stumble and fall and fail the Lord, we are still participants in the kingdom, because the one who began the good work in us will bring that work to completion. And not only so, but he has placed within us the earnest of our salvation, the precious Holy Spirit. And that salvation is not something that happens in the future. It's something we participate in now. We have the great calling of being participation, of having participation in the consummation of the kingdom. It was inaugurated when Christ landed, as it were, in disguise. But it's being consummated, and one day will be fully consummated with the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Okay. All right, well, I guess, because, I mean, I don't really disagree with, I guess, yeah, my problem is going to be the willingness part, because I totally agree with the part about him being a powerful and perfect Savior. I guess that's what you were alluding to by the descriptions that you gave. So in that, does he have, I guess, which part is it that, if I'm only willing, then he can save me, but if I'm not willing, then he can't save me? Is that pretty much the gist of it?
Well, what I'm saying is that we are created in such a way that we can choose to love and follow the light that we have been given, or we can choose to reject it. Jesus said to Nicodemus, light came into darkness, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But the light has come. We have the light of creation, as I mentioned earlier in the broadcast. We also have the light of conscience. In other words, God has written a knowledge of himself upon the canvas of our consciousness. And if we are willing to follow that light, he is not going to put obstacles in our path, but rather he is going to give us more light. And so the point here is that if you are willing to follow Jesus Christ, then you have everlasting life as a present possession. If you are genuinely willing to follow Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to do it perfectly. And as I said, it doesn't mean you're not going to fall or fail. It does mean that you are willing to follow Jesus Christ, and as such, you are a participant in the kingdom now. It is not consummated now, but you are a participant in the kingdom now. It doesn't happen when you die. It happens when you receive the one who died in your place, and the Holy Spirit becomes the one who lives within your temple, and as I said earlier, is the deposit guaranteeing the redemption of those who are God's possession. And that's why I say the Lord's trees are evergreen. Conversely, you look at someone like Judas, he was never saved to begin with. Jesus designated him a devil. He loved everything that was on the master's table. He loved the prosperity. He loved everything the master could afford him, but he didn't love the master. And therein lies the difference. Written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I'll be back in a moment with more.
Houston preacher Joel Osteen is the de facto high priest of a new brand of Christianity perfectly suited for a feel-good generation. He's the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that is nothing more than a cultish movement. Hank Hanegraaff has written a book that combats Osteen's false teachings with truth, and he wants to send you a copy to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please call to request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Christianity is under attack, but the enemy isn't who you think it is. The enemy is a new kind of so-called Christianity that exchanges the glory of the cross for the glory of consumerism. Hank Hanegraaff exposes this false religion in his new book, The Osteenification of American Christianity, and he wants to send you a copy to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request yours when you go online to equip.org with your gift today. That's equip.org. Let's hear more from your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. So many people think that the real enemy of the world is the world, but the reality is the world lives as it does because the world is the world. Pagans live as they do because the world is the world. What else would they do? The essence, in terms of difficulty, is found in the words of Jesus Christ, who points out that the salt has lost its saltiness. In other words, we have become microcosms of the world, imitators of the world, as opposed to cultural initiators. And as a result of that, the world is in the state in which it is. I've often said that for revival to take place in the world or even in our nation, reformation needs to take place in the pew. That's why I wrote The Osteenification of American Christianity. We resemble the culture as opposed to those who transform the Culture, the book available for your gift. You can find it on the web, equip.org. Back to the phone line, Sean next in Colorado, listening on KTGW. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Hank. I first just want to say it's great listening to you. It's nice to have some men and women standing up for the word and helping let others know about the truth.
Thank you.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're coming through loud and clear, yes.
Okay. I just wanted to ask you, what's your opinion about Joyce Myers? Because, you know, I listen to you, I listen to other people, and I always tell people, always go to the word, but I've heard a lot of good stuff with her that she just goes to the word, but I've heard some people say there's some things about her that sort of maybe along the lines of Joe Einstein, but I just want to get your opinion and what you think of her.
You know, I think what you said is wise. You always have to go to the Word. In other words, test all things in light of Scripture and hold fast to the good. No one is suggesting that everything that Joyce Meyer says is wrong, but there is a lot of heresy mixed in her teachings. And in fact, I'll play a clip. I don't think I've ever played this clip before, but it's informative in terms of where she's coming from on quite a few counts. Listen carefully.
I got fire in my belly tonight because I know that there's power in life in right words, that words are containers for power. And I don't care what kind of a mess you've got. I am begging you tonight to stop talking about it and start talking about what the Word says and what you can have. Make yourself a list. Do some work. Do some homework. Make sure you've got a scripture to back up every one of your confessions. We're not talking about some magic, goofy, you know, weird, new age thing. I'm talking about doing what the Bible says, calling those things that be not as though they are, prophesying to the dead dry bones in your life. Oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Maybe you need to get your checkbook out and say, oh, you checkbook, hear the word of the Lord. You are not going to stay empty all of your life. Oh, somebody says, well, this is just too weird for me. Well, then just stay broke. What you're doing's not working. You listen to me, checkbook. The first 10% of everything that goes into you is going to God's work, and you are going to be full to overflowing. And I am going to be blessed, and I am going to be a blessing.
You know, all of it sounds so good, and you can hear in the background the applause of people. Let me say, this message sells, and it does bring prosperity. But if you look at where the prosperity lies, it is not with the people who are applauding, by and large. It is with the people who are performing, by and large. When she says that you are going to be overflowing, that you're going to be blessed, that you're going to have prosperity, that your checkbook is going to be full, no. Many who obey the Lord suffer tragedy, suffer financial loss. In this world, said Jesus, you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. God does not promise us a panacea on this planet, not until He returns a second time and puts all things to right. In the meantime, all of us will get sick, even Joyce Meyer. And all of us will eventually die. Kenneth Hagin thought he'd live to 120. He got sick, he died. Words do not create reality. No matter how many people are applauding, no matter how many books are selling, this is a ruse. This is a false message. But think about what she's saying. We're not talking, she says, about some magic, goofy, you know, weird, new age thing. Yes, she is. She's doing all of those things while saying she isn't doing any of those things. Because what does she follow that up with? Here's the context. You heard it. We're not talking about some magic, goofy, you know, weird, New Age thing. I'm talking about doing what the Bible says. So what does she say the Bible says? Here are her words. Quote, calling those things that be not as though they are. Now, where does that come from? It comes from Romans 4:17. And does Romans 4:17 tell us that we can call those things that are not as though they were, or, as she puts it, as though they are? Well, if you actually go to the text, test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to the good, what do you find? You find quite the inverse. The text doesn't say that at all. It says it is God, not we, God, who calls those things that are not as though they were. So she's taken the text and twisted it. But the prologue disarms just about everyone, because you can hear the applause. We're not talking about some magic, goofy, you know, weird, New Age thing. Yes, she is. She has, like the New Agers, like the New Thought metaphysical practitioners, she's twisted the Word of God to preach her prosperity message. Mm-hmm. And if this were just one example, it would be tragic enough. But it is one in a litany of examples that could be given, and it is part and parcel of what I call the Osteenification of American Christianity.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, like I said, I do listen, but I do hear something, and it does seem like she does seem to cater to the loudest call, you know, who's the loudest, so to say. I mean, I hear a lot of good things from her, but at the same time, there's some things that are like, okay, something doesn't quite seem like you're saying. It almost seems like he's trying to say the words. If you just say the words, it's going to happen. Yeah.
Well, that's the whole point. I mean, if you look at the systemic issue here, it is, in her view, faith is a force. Words are the containers of the force, or as she says in this clip, words are containers for power, and through the force of faith, you create your own reality. Now, words can have a devastating impact on another person. So again, this is the skin of the truth, stuff of the lie. It's not that words cannot be harmful, but words cannot create reality. And therefore, there's no warrant whatsoever to suggest that the words you speak can cause the maladies that you face, or vice versa. If you speak to your checkbook and you say, you big, juicy checkbook, you're just full of loot, that's not going to create reality. I can sit in this studio from now until the next show and say, I have $1 billion. I have $1 billion. All I'm doing is deluding myself, because words cannot create reality. Now, certainly, it's best to think of those things that are noteworthy and righteous and just and holy and good, those things which are pleasing, of course. But the error here is never presented in its naked deformity. If it was, who would buy into it? Would you have thousands upon thousands of people applauding you? No. If it was presented in its naked deformity, everybody'd leave. So you have to give that little subtle twist. You have to take the empty bauble and fill it with something that seems substantive, but in fact is emptier than the air that the bauble is filled with.
I hear you. And that's why, too, I always say, when I tell people, too, myself, always go to the Word. What does the Word say? Because it's through Christ. He's the one that's going to show us what the real truth is. Yeah.
Test all things, hold fast to the good. And for those who say, don't judge, the Bible says don't judge. Again, that's twisting the text. Jesus is emphatic. He tells us to judge, but he appends to that the warning, when you judge, judge by a right standard. And you have correctly said, Sean, that the right standard is the Word of God. So don't judge self-righteously or hypocritically.
Yes, yes.
Judge righteously. Judge all things in light of... Look, if we couldn't judge, what right do we have to say that the Mormons are wrong when they say that Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer? What right do we have to say that the Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong when they say that Jesus is the Archangel Michael? What right do we have to criticize Islam when they say that God is only transcendent and that the very notion of begotten of God as the Son is tantamount to the sin of shirk, an unpardonable sin? What right do we have to criticize that if we can't judge? Of course we can judge. We make judgments every single day. When you go into a supermarket, you make a judgment as to what you are going to buy, what you're going to put in the body of your children, of your spouse, of yourself. We have to make judgments every day. And so why did I write The Osteenification of American Christianity? I wrote it quite simply because people need to learn discernment skills. And trust me, this is not about no harm, no foul. Many of those people applauding Joyce Meyer in that clip will one day live to regret their applause, because they will see that what she has said simply does not correspond to reality. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air. Continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, do be patient. I will get to you. And if you're dialing in, you can dial in for the next hour. I'll continue answering questions, and I'll record my answers to your questions, and I'll play that on someday when I have to travel, sometimes at the spur of the moment. You can call on those questions right now, 888-ASK-HANK. Again, thank you for your prayers and your support. We do need your support right now. More than ever, we've taken on a tall task this month. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master. Not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org.
The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices.